Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their advanced eye care duo brightens and firms skin around your eyes, while the Golden Glow Body Trio nourishes and smooths skin all over. Go to OSEAMalibu.com and use code MOM for 10% off your first order site-wide.
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel, who's part of the Dragon Cast series, where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
You know what to do, like and subscribe, but fuck off.
Welcome, everybody. Happy bank holiday Easter Monday. I hope you had a lovely Easter weekend. Welcome to Dragon Cast. No, hang on a sec. No, my God, I'm all a tears. Welcome to the Sound of Succession. I'm Jamie East.
And I'm Chris Mandel.
I'm sure it sounds a bit different. If you're watching on YouTube, at some point it's going to look very different. I'm not in my studio. I'm in Cornwall at my dad's place. And we were probably going to leave this until tomorrow to record. Mm. But given the fact that it was such a cataclysmic episode of Succession, we just had to jump on straight away. So
emergency
we haven't had
conference call.
Yeah, exactly. We've not had a chance to watch it more than once. I watched it this morning. I've not had a chance to watch it, so I've not made any notes.
Me neither. It's one of those days where, like, Twitter is just, like, barbed wire at the moment. Like, loads of people...
You know what? Not like, just Twitter. Like...
Really?
The LA Times spoilt it for me this morning. But it goes without saying that if you're listening to this, this is a very spoilery. We're going to spoil.
Three.
So do not listen to this podcast if you haven't watched episode 3 of Succession. But yeah, the LA Times ruined this for me at 7, and I was like, oh.
So I woke up at 5:30 in the morning. Don't know why. Couldn't get to sleep, and the first thing I saw on Twitter was, like, Succession, that's the tweet. And all these people that were like, that's the best episode of television I've ever seen. And I thought, oh shit, this is going to be a massive episode.
I have to say, if anyone that's listened before, you'd kind of sussed out what was going to happen. You'd had a good guess, right?
Me?
Yeah, you'd kind of mentioned it before in person.
It's interesting because I didn't get any advanced episodes this season. And some people did. Some people got 3 and 4. So they got the first 4. Mm. So just firstly to speak on that, I am really surprised none of this leaked.
Yeah.
Like, say what you will about spoiler culture and internet culture, but no one spoiled this and I'm really shocked. So credit to whatever. Although I did hear that HBO took screeners back off people and that this episode was removed from a few people's accounts.
Yeah, I didn't get screeners for this episode. I did for episodes 1 and 2, and they just didn't materialize for this one. And I was a bit kind of like, man.
Yeah, you're right. We did talk about this a little bit, and I wouldn't want to take credit to say that I saw this coming, because I was a sort of believer that Logan I didn't think he would die at the end. That was always my, I just thought the show's actually about him. And it's about that no one is going to succeed him. But when I watched the trailer for this episode, I just felt like it was one of those things where it was made up of about 5 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
There's little And I kept thinking, why is there no footage of the wedding? Why is that, you know, none of the audio links up? And I just, I mean, it ended up being a sort of like a stylistic choice, but I kept thinking, like, none of them look like they're dressed for a wedding. And I thought that was really clever that actually most of them were wearing black.
Well, this was
ended
what
up looking like they were all at a funeral.
Yeah, well, this was, I have to say, we'll get into the pluses, of which there were many about this episode. One of the things I did notice was that, and I thought that was a weird choice, I have to say. I get why they did it, you know, everyone in black, but I kind of thought it would have made it even more tragic had they been wearing, like, beige suits and Shiv wearing one of her, yeah, exactly, one of her kind of, like, awful dresses with a little, yeah,
almost
exactly fascinating.
Almost like, kind of, because we know Connor and Willa's wedding has been brought forward. I did think that what it did communicate was that no one had actually put any effort into going to the wedding. Like, it was, because also it was in New York, so they've just gone for the
afternoon. He got the naff wedding that he wanted as well, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. But I did. So I thought, I just remember watching the trailer, and then in this last week, I was like, the way to do it, if you're going to kill Logan, is to kill him halfway through the series when no one's coming. And I did not fully believe he was going to die in this episode until I saw people talking in these kind of riddles online, and I just thought the only thing that could lead
that
people
would stop people
from
to talk like that
is Logan dying, and people going, "Oh my god, I've had Succession spoiled, and it's only 7 a.m. I'm like, there's very little that would foster that response.
Yeah, so, I completely agree.
Yeah, but even so, even when I had my suspicions, I watched the episode, I honestly thought I was having a heart attack at some point. It was so tense.
I cannot even begin to kind of... It's very difficult to do this, to record this episode, really, because I haven't really processed much of it in my own head anyway, because there's two sides to it. There's the story side to it, but then there's also the performance side to it, and I'm agog at both of them. I found it quite upsetting. I found it very sad. There were tears in the East household this morning. It was a pretty,
I was a bit too.
Pretty brutal episode. And I think ultimately, before we get into the weeds of it all, what a great, I thought it was just a brilliant, you know, Jesse Armstrong clearly went in and said, you know, the only thing more powerful than these things is, you know, the only thing more powerful than the Roys and these kind of people is the fact that you can't stop death, and you never know when it's coming, and it will just come. Yeah. And you can plan for succession, you can plan your exit, you can prep as much as you kind of want. It said, but ultimately, it will just happen, just like that. And that's exactly
in the middle, 15 minutes into a wedding, it does happen.
On the bog. Unceremonial, yeah.
There's loads of great deaths on television. I've never seen one communicated almost exclusively through phone calls, and I thought that was so clever.
Yeah.
Because these people are always all around, and they're flying around. And that's where it really started to get me in my feelings, because I've had conversations like that with loved ones where all you can do is sit on the end of a speakerphone and your world just ends. And I've never seen a show make it so jagged and ugly and inhumane. You know, there was no big Shakespearean monologue. There was no striking imagery. You know, we knew much as the kids when they were on the phone. I can't remember
what Logan's last line was. What is it? Was just getting on the plane to sack Jerry. We're going to kill Jerry.
Yeah, it was. We're going to gut the team, cut the this, sort that. It was. Yeah. It was literally. I just think it's such a flex to just not give it a bit of razzle dazzle, and.
But in hindsight, the only way they could do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a point where it's just like, is this a play? Is this one last kind of sick joke to see who comes out of the woodwork and what testing people's metal a bit?
It's Easter. If anyone's going to come back from the dead, it's going to be Daddy Logan. I thought that was the whole point. It's just such a shock. And, you know, what's so clever is that you now go, how are we going to get on without Logan? And the family are going, how are we going to get on without Logan? Like, it does throw the whole show into a different kind of chaos. I just thought everyone in it was brilliant.
Everyone was on their A game.
Amazing. Everyone.
Shiv was just phenomenal. Oh my goodness. So good. It was just, I'm rendered speechless by it pretty much because I don't know where to begin. Let's talk about the story. So we left on episode two with Roman pledging his allegiance, Matheson deal, 24 hours, wedding, blah, 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 blah. We start this episode with Jerry's gone. That's like the big, that feels like you start the episode thinking, right, this is going to be the story arc. It's about Roman and Jerry. It's about something kind
and
of happening.
And she's going to get something on here. She's going to like turn on him or something. Right.
And it kind of felt like that's what it was because she was, mm-hmm. she mentioned, she was like, right, well, I'm not going quietly. Are you talking about the dick pics that you sent me? Are you talking about this? Are you talking about me navigating you through the cruise line crisis? All of that kind of stuff felt very much like we're going to get into some personal war between Roman and Jerry, and they're either going to end up fucking each other or killing each other or whatever. Yeah. The wedding just looked as miserable as we always expected it would. There was the breast band, everyone wearing stars and stripes. There was the loony cake.
The loony cake, absolutely heartbreaking. So Connor doesn't want to see the inside of the cake. So they can't do it.
Because it's a Victoria's sponge. Because he found out it was a Victoria's sponge. When his mum did something or other. Oh my God. I mean, it was just like...
She was put in an institution, wasn't she?
That was it. So that's why it was the loony cake. But just like the thought of... Just someone coming up with that storyline in the midst of all of this was just like...
He is like a 56-year-old man or something, right? Like
doesn't want to see a Victoria sponge.
Wedding day and he can't see the inside. The other thing that I thought was...
The fact that he doesn't find out what his wedding cake is until he's standing in front of his wedding cake. That's literally how so far removed they are from the detail of their lives.
One detail that I loved in this early portion, and it's just not really commented on, is that Willa's mum... loves Connor, like he's charmed the pants off her because, you know, Willa, like, don't get the impression, doesn't come from much money, right? And this mum is just besotted with him, like, she's, I know it's obviously because he's minted, right, and she's gone up in the world, but I just thought that was so like great.
Yeah,
she's just like simpering and this little suck up that she just, everything he said,
I thought she genuinely felt for him as well, because she talked about kind of like, oh, they like the taste of your champagne, you know, no, don't forget that. And but she kind of felt quite a sip it while sipping his champagne, and
they're doing it on this yacht, and the idea is that it's gonna do a loop around the Statue of Liberty and come back or whatever, right?
And
all the kids get there. Logan flies off.
Yeah, Logan flies off. Jerry gets the kind of half gets the boot. He doesn't really do it properly. And then Roman has this wobble. He's just like, what if this is just a test? And then a phone call that will undoubtedly haunt Roman for the rest of his life, where the last words he utters to his dad are you a cunt?
Yeah. And then now he's going to spend... the rest of the show, the rest of his life, going, did he listen to it? Did he not?
Did he listen to it? Also,
and which one of those is worse?
And it was worse than that. Has anyone else listened to it? Does anyone else know? I mean, this is consequence, which we'll save for like the later.
Yeah.
I thought the actual, you know, again, you can't help watch an episode like this without reflecting on your own brushes with situations like this. You know, everyone listening has at some point in their life been told that someone dear to them has died, or, you know, whether it's a cat or your parents or whatever. And there's no real, it's the great leveler. It just is the great leveler because, and then we enter this phase where everyone acts very, very human. Like you see such a huge conflict of loyalties. You see just everything else just kind of like washes away like sand in a fucking sink, whereby within seconds, you know, and what I loved was that it was a matter of like 45 seconds from Kendall answering the phone to him having to give his dad his last rites and say goodbye. And just that panic of being on the spot and holy shit. And they were just like, I don't know what to say. And the fact that nothing ever goes right, you know, you can't plan, you know, they didn't really call Shiv as early as they could have done, but because they were just kind of, not because of anything vindictive, they were just kind of like, oh shit. And then Connor, of course, was just like, you know, didn't get told for like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Everyone's reactions was incredible.
Really clever, know. Because I thought everyone was cycling through mourning their father and mourning the head of the company, like, yeah, through these like phases, because it's difficult which one is more damaging to all these people, because these kids, you know, none of them really had anything particularly heartwarming to say to Logan. And when they were all on the phone to him, it was so interesting how it was framed as, he might be alive, so you should pour your heart out and he might be able to hear you. God, what a model for that entire relationship. Like, you yell as everything in your heart and he might hear you. But yeah, when even Roman said, you know, you did a very good job, you were a very good dad, neither of them believe that.
No, exactly.
At all. It just, you know,
felt as though it was something they had to say.
Yeah, we heard the story about the loony cake. We've heard so much about Ken and Roman getting an awful time from their father. Like, we know that he's a terrible dad. And so it's just fascinating that they're, even in that moment. I mean, Ken says, I won't forgive you, but I'll miss you.
Yeah.
You know, he kind of has the starkest thing there. Yeah. But yeah, Connor straight out of the bat, he didn't like me.
He never loved me. Didn't like me.
Never loved me.
But bloody hell, the performances from the three kids in that room. I did read somewhere a headline of it, like where they recorded all of that in like 30 minute takes.
Like, yeah, did the it whole was a one thing. Scene. They tried doing it as one continuous Which thing.
Just like, wow, just mental. That was it.
And it was, there must be versions where they're so much sadder and so much angrier and so much quieter. And it's interesting that they've gone with this.
Yeah, how would you describe, what did you describe their mood as? It was, I mean, they were just kind of like, I mean, just unprepared, I think, is the
I just kept thinking of the word jagged, because they're sort of, some of them are going really manic and some of them are like hyperventilating and then some of them are like Shiv kind of got really angry that they didn't get her in time.
Yeah,
but then she worked through that quite rapidly and then sort of got angry again. And it was just very, it was just very intense, but it just felt, I think there's a version where they over block the scene in the episode, but actually it just was so chaotic and it was brilliant. I just kept thinking also when they're going around the corridors of that yacht, the light was very blue and gray. It looked like a morgue, but also God, this is the last place any of them want to be. Logan was on the plane that their decision forced him to get on.
Yeah.
And it just all felt like almost like all of these mistakes had sort of come home to roost. It's all their fault that they're there.
Yeah.
But, you know, even I just thought, again, there's another version where they were surrounded in a beautiful setting when something awful happened. And they didn't do that, which I just admired, you know? It was in a really grotty-looking yacht.
It was just a naff kind of corporate thing. Yeah.
You know, that Connor can't afford the kind of yacht that they were on in season two. You know, it looked like a tourist boat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was did.
So ugly.
Yeah.
I just loved all of the different rooms, staircases, up, down, Frank's in, people are going out. I thought Kerry, when she kind of came through was just like physically vibrating with shock.
Yeah, she was just like, oh wow, oh my God. She was just like, she couldn't, she was too, she wasn't mature enough to process that. She's like, whoa, what about that back there? And then very quick, and then I thought that was great though, how quickly they were just like, yeah, you're just the side piece now, get out of it.
Right. And I thought the same, like, you know, they have to find someone to succeed Logan. Mm. Who decides? Yeah. You know, the thing about this that really shocked me by the end was he hasn't got a plan in place for when he dies.
No, he didn't.
The stock
After
price,
all of that.
You see the stock yeah. price dropping and yeah. Kendall goes, yeah. that's our dad right there. Nobody yeah. trading, nobody externally thinks that, they all thought Logan yeah. was the company. So that is something maybe we'll touch on at the end, but I just,
yeah.
I just found like the whole, it was such a manic energy and
my
question actually, I tell you what I'd like to know for you. It's sort of implied, as soon as Tom calls, it's kind of implied that Logan's dead.
Mm.
But they can't pronounce him dead because there's not a doctor. So they're having to keep Correct. Trying to resuscitate him. So
yeah.
my question is, do you think he died, Tom calls them, or do you think he's dying on that phone call?
I think he was dead. I think they found yeah. him, he was just dead. I was thinking about that. My gut feeling is that like, it would, if he collapsed on the toilet, which he did, you know, it sounds mm-hmm. like he just died on the bog. It would have been a while before anyone was brave enough to kick down the door of Logan Roy's toilet to see if he yeah. was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think he was dead. I think they all knew he was dead on the plane.
Yeah.
There was never a moment. There was never a tone in their voice of real hope. They just didn't want to be the ones to say it out loud.
To,
you know,
to articulate the words to yeah. the children.
And interesting, yeah. And Tom phoned Shiv before he phoned Kendall. So
and she didn't pick up. Did she?
And she wouldn't pick up. Yeah. So she can be as cross as she likes, but she would have been she would have had that thing happen with Tom.
There's a theory. The reason I asked about the death circumstances, I think a couple of people online have said that basically they think Kerry found him dead. And that's okay. why she's more fucked up from it.
Right. Okay.
Which
that
I think
would make
is
sense.
Kind of like, okay, oh, she's the one that kind of flagged it or yeah. But dying on the toilet, very Elvis, very Tywin
yeah.
Lannister.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
really,
absolutely.
It's really crass, isn't it? It's so pathetic.
Well, that's the whole point. It's like, it doesn't matter what stature you've got, doesn't matter how expensive your suits are, some of us are going to die having a shit. You know, it doesn't matter
even
who you
at
are.
The very end when they get him off the plane.
Yeah.
I was watching it and we were saying like, what is the protocol for getting a body off a plane? And we sort of went, well, they probably don't have a great, you know, and watching the body bag and it's all lumpy, you thought, God, it's so unbecoming, isn't it? The whole thing is so unbecoming. Yeah.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And obviously the big juxtaposition, you know, the thing that probably none of us or very few of us listening will ever have to deal with is, you know, hopefully we're all just left to deal with the grief of the situation. But there is immediately the business side of it as well. And mm-hmm. I thought it was so deftly played, especially with the kids.
Yeah.
About how, you know, Kendall had flashes of brilliance and leadership. Shiv did as well. Roman completely went to pieces pretty much for the mm-hmm. whole thing, was completely in denial, mainly because I think he knows what his last words were. But he's already thinking of the business because he doesn't want it to get out now that he was going to jump ship because they need each other. The three of them need each other. And the second that those two find out what he was planning, which they will, you know, it's absolute hell for leather for him.
I think they all know as well that they're powerless to stop. Matheson is got no skin in the game. It's business to him. No. They've got business and family. Like, I don't know how they're going to sort of navigate the rest of the season.
All the stuff coming. Well, now we were wondering what the season was going to be about, and now we know it's just going to be about what is the future of Waystar Royco. And I don't know. You know, the kids clearly aren't together enough, and the rest of the board don't think so either. There was no mention of kind of like, right, well, we're naming you interim, blah, blah, blah. It's not like the Queen is dead, long live the King, or anything like that we had in this country last year. It's kind of like, right, we need to take stock. But I enjoyed the drafting of the statement. It was like, well, who needs to be on the statement? Well, and even like Carl and those guys were like, well, we should have our names on the statement as well. It's like, oh, hang on a sec.
We didn't do all this to not be on the statement.
Yeah, yeah. We want our swan song.
Yeah. I think that it's just so clever. You've got the family stuck on a boat. You've got the business team stuck on a plane. You've got a dead body. We can't land a plane because the press are tracking it and they know someone knows that he's not well. It is just the most complicated knot to untangle. And
who leaked it, do you think?
Well, there's maybe Greg, because Greg is friends with that journalist, but I thought the point that I can't remember the name of the woman who is the head of press, who we haven't had in the season. We haven't had her on the show for quite a while.
Oh, I know who you mean. Yeah. We've not seen her at all.
Anyway, she was like, look, there's loads of Twitter accounts that track private jets. It's a registered number. People can see it. So I could sort of see it just being like a viral Twitter account.
Someone going, oh, interesting, Logan Roy's...
Why is this plane circling around?
Yeah. You know, why has Logan Roy's plane done a U-turn? Yeah.
Was it Liz Truss when she came back from somewhere, or Suella Braverman? You know, it was like for hours and hours, it was like, when is she going to land? Do you remember last year?
Yes, that's right.
Was it that Kwasi Kwarteng when we found out he was going to get fired and he was in America?
Oh, that's it. And he was like, and we were
and all the journalists
him.
Just waited for him at the landing strip. So pretty I think it brutal. Could have been that. And I think some people are saying Greg leaked it. I think what I'm really interested in is just what a violent battleground it's going to be.
It's going to be brutal. Yeah.
Because Jerry was fired, but then maybe that's not happened now. Like maybe.
Well,
she'll stay.
Because no one else knew. Well, maybe I think Carolina knew. Carolina heard. Logan told Carolina on the steps what was happening. So she knows that that's going to happen. But she doesn't know that Roman actually did it. No. Because the only person that knows that was Logan.
Yeah. And then the kids, like, I mean, none of them are in a position to run the company. And they also, you know, they might not have wanted to sell to Matheson in the first. They didn't want to sell to Matheson, did they? They wanted to block the deal. And now...
Well, they did, but they just wanted more money.
Yeah. But they didn't
which they're never...
When in season three, when they went to the villa, they were like, don't do this, right?
Well, they were, but I think, I don't think they care. I think they need it because they bought bloody Pierce, you know.
Well, so this is the thing. So I think part of them is like, we should take over Dad's company, but they need the sale to go through. I just, it's, and then is, are the Pierce's going to want to be, you know, it's just all, The other thing I was thinking, actually, just before we jumped on the call, though, is they'll not only will they have money from a sale, but they'll all inherit a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true. There will be just like dosh floating around, like a few bills, the pile.
Bills and bills and bills.
Yeah.
The other thing that we haven't talked about or we haven't seen this season is that Jared Mencken, the far-right political candidate. So we've got an election this year.
Yeah, which is, see, this is why I think this is a little bit Game of Thronesy, where there are exits being drafted up for each of the kids. I think Shiv is going to, that was my kind of prediction at the beginning, was that Shiv's going to go off and work for her kind of like Democrat person again. You know, it's just crazy. It's just so
I do think crazy. Something I said last week that I think still holds up is that I think this show is about them driving everything into the ground because they're not their dad. Yeah. Like, they're not him for better or worse. Like, they're not as awful. They're not bullies. They're not sociopaths. But they're also not business savvy. So I kind of think all of these exterior threats are designed to just wipe the company out in some fashion. Tell you what, the one lingering question I have, though, what did Tom ask to get deleted off the computer?
So this was like, there was a folder, wasn't there? I think
logistics.
The logistics. I think it was what I took it to be when I was watching it was the whole Sid thing about getting rid of Sid and Amtrak and that ATN. Kind of that whole ATN, that whole thing. Like that's what I took that. Rather, and I wonder why, if that's the case, why he's did that. Maybe because he doesn't want, you know, he knows that he'll just end up fucking with that bloody news channel that he doesn't want.
Yeah, to recap this. So as a sort of reward for turning on the kids in season three, Logan gave Tom co-managing of ATN. And then to sort of, as we found out last episode, they're going to just get rid of Sid to make room for him. And that those two hate each other. But he's thinking, actually, why? I don't want to be sidelined over here. I can't do the job, and the only ally I had is dead.
Yeah,
he couldn't run. He couldn't run that.
And also, he probably knew what the share price. What would happen to the share price? What would happen to this? How difficult it would be. Yeah. He knew that someone else would come in and own it eventually, and it wouldn't be him.
Yeah.
And he knows that it's unlikely to be Shiv, or even worse. It would be Shiv. You know, it's like he just the panic. Of that was great. Go on.
Here's an interesting idea. The rest of the season is not about who takes over the company, but it's about all of them trying to avoid taking on the company because it's such a shit company that they're all trying to flee the sinking ship and pass the buck. I kind of think that would be really funny if
that would be great.
This episode flips the whole thing on its head and it's like, you know, you should do it, Ken. Actually, I've just named Tom president. And he's like, I think Jerry, you know, and they're just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
That would be great.
Also, why doesn't Tom just have all of that on a Google Drive? Why keep it on one laptop? This is not
on a folder on your desktop as well. On your desktop, mate.
Logistic. Come on. That is the first place I would look.
Yeah, I know. Awful.
Untitled folder 11111.
Yeah. shout out to Willa as well, because amongst all of this, there was a brilliant scene between Connor and Willa, where, and I just thought, I guess that was supposed to be light relief, but it was just actually, it was as tender as the rest of the scenes that were going on, where there was no, it was brutal, because he was just like, I'm scared that you're going to leave me because I think you're only with me because of my money. And she was just kind of like, yeah, but I'm happy. You know,
I'm not going to leave you today.
I'm not going to leave you. Yeah, I'm not going to leave you beat today.
You know,
your dad's dead.
He has something that none of the others have, which is a life outside of the family.
Yeah.
And I know he paid for her to go on dates and all this, and she still does. And still does. But he went home last episode, and there was someone waiting in bed for him. And I just think, he's kind of winning in a fashion.
Yeah.
Like he's,
yeah.
Do you know, I loved, it just reminded me though, Logan on the phone at the start of the episode, he said, oh, I'm really sorry, I can't be there. We got him some Napoleon stuff. Napoleon things.
It was the Napoleon and Josephine letters between them, which must have cost like millions of dollars. that Kerry had just like, you know, like normally we would send like our other halves to Selfridges to get it to send an end voucher. And instead, you know, Connor's like ended up with like handwritten Napoleon letters to his sweetheart.
It's like their rich person version of the Aesop hand cream duo, which, you know, you don't get just anyone, and they've gone, only copy of these letters. But just, it was so like, we got him some Napoleon, you know, it was just
some Napoleon
shit.
There were some great throwaway lines there that warrant, you know, obviously they always warrant a second viewing. There was the line about the funeral where Kendall briefly like mentions the funeral. He's like, and he said, we could do Reagan's with tweaks.
Off the rack Reagan
tweaks. Yeah, off the rack Reagan with tweaks.
So I presume we're going to get a funeral.
Yeah.
I presume we're going to get a funeral.
Well, there was no, I've not seen a trailer for next week's, but I guess
they do this, HBO do this quite a lot now, but it's like, here's what's on the rest of Succession. So it's like,
oh, I see.
Footage, it's like 2 minutes and it's footage from like loads. And what I think it is I think if we were to watch the trailer for Succession back, it's probably footage from these three episodes.
Yeah.
Because obviously they, you know, so it's, I had a quick look at it. It just looks so chaotic. They've got Matheson, the election, they've got the peer stuff, they've got the board meetings, they've got...
It's just an absolute mess.
But what an amazing way to just clear the deck. Three episodes in, you just completely change...
Blindsided, you know, the audience. Yeah.
Absolutely. Ever since I watched it, which is only a few hours ago, what like an audacious piece of television. Just amazing. And we're very rarely left with our jaws on the floor because we think we're cleverer than all these people, and we're both sat here just going, I didn't see that coming.
Great. Well, I'd not seen it in advance. I hadn't really had time to process, and it was just like, I just loved it. It was just a masterful hour of television, you know.
Yeah.
If you're listening to the Sound of Succession, you will probably know that we also do stuff on Game of Thrones and House of Dragon and various other shows as well. But that was up there. You know, we talk about the Red Wedding. We talk about this, talk about that. I mean, HBO really hate a fucking wedding, don't they? Let's be honest.
Do you know what I love though is it really, a couple of people said this, Taffy Brodess Arachner tweeted something similar, which was, it just treats you with such a high degree of respect. It's quite a lot to get through. It's quite a lot to process. It's not all laid out. It's not all easy to see coming. And it's really rewarding because it's quite challenging.
It's like a really difficult escape room.
I hate escape rooms.
Mate,
isn't it though? The whole time the audio is really bad at the start, and I thought, oh my God, is the plane going down? Have they crashed? Are they all dead?
Yeah, but that was the beautiful thing. It was just like the little detail of that bad interference where you could just hear really sick. It was like, who's really sick? It was just like, you were with Shiv. You were just like, you were with Kendall. It's just like, I can't, and you were leaning in. I was leaning. I was like, it was just
masterful. What a treat to be alive when a show like this is on. It's just the best.
Fantastic.
And we've got 100%. 7 more episodes.
So season. And you know what?
I just can't wait.
Yeah. I think that will be all the emotion we get. That will be the sad episode. I think from now on in, I think from now on in, it's going to be gladiatorial. It's going to be, even Tom was just like, I'm not okay. I'm sad. I lost my protector. But then also, can you make sure in the statement it lets everybody know that I was with him at the end? You know, it's just, we've not talked about Greg. We mentioned about Greg, but you know, let's work out where everyone stands before we go. Greg's pretty fucked. You know, Kendall, he tried to speak to, you know, get your nose out of our trough. Kendall told him. Because he'd sided with Logan and Tom. So Greg's in a bad place. Tom's in a bad place. But will still be valuable to Carl and Carolina and the gang because he's actually, he's useful. He can do stuff. He's in charge of the news station. He can keep the wheels turning. So he's actually got a function. Jerry, I think, is in a really strong position.
Mm-hmm. Very strong.
I think because I think, you know, we've talked about it. Jerry wasn't his number two, you know, the only the number two with more sense than Logan for a lot of the time. So she's going to be incredibly valuable, and she knows it. I think Jerry might make a play. She might get Roman on side and make a play for it.
The good thing is the this dick pic stuff sort of dies with Logan as well. It's not like everyone knew about it. So good for Jerry. Yeah. Someone that I think Roman is important because Matheson likes Roman.
Yeah.
And Matheson doesn't like many other people. Didn't even really like Logan. And so Roman's quite crucial. Shiv, I think, is really smartly positioned as the face of the grief with that statement, which all the news...
She
will be quite important as the sort of the human aspect.
Yeah,
Ken. Yeah, we talked about Ken. Smart, knows his onions, and he's quite a loyal.
He was the only one that I kind of had some sense, didn't he? He was, you know, he was the one that said, "What was it? How did he put it? How we behave in the next hour will go down in." Yeah, I mean, he slightly over egged the omelet, go down in Congress books, and but kind
but
of what he said now
there's
is
ever an inquest into the board members.
He said,
"Kick off
how we behave and react now is." You know, doubly, triply important.
Yeah, he says, "Do you really want to? You really want to keep the body in the air? Do you really want that? Do you want that to be in an inquiry? Do you want that to be written in a witness statement that you chose to? You know, he's good. He knows optics because he's been burnt by them so many times. Will Marsha come back? I mean, she has some sort of board role. She might inherit something. I think
maybe. Yeah,
Logan's brother." Greg's grandfather.
Yeah, well, no, he sold his stake, didn't he?
But I just wonder, he might inherit. There might be something in the will. I think that's where this could all get really interesting. I think Greg, they're playing up the fact that everyone hates him, but he still...
You think he's going to get left something?
I think he's going to get left. I think it'd be really funny if Greg's grandfather died off screen, or there was some kind of like, he didn't even get to gloat about it. He died
and Greg ended up with like
there's something like, karmic about they're increasingly hostile to Greg, and I just think Greg might end up going, yeah, I'm gonna vote against this or get
a really good point. That's a good point. I don't, you know what, a like you say, I'm so privileged to have watched that. It was, if anyone from Succession ever listens to this, Jesse, Lucy Preble, any of the gang, fucking good job. Job well
and
done.
Just thank you for like zigging where everyone else would zag, and like thank you for not doing the most obvious things. It's just what a mind-blowing episode.
It's a pleasure. It's been an absolute pleasure to watch. And like you say, with episode 3, for crying out loud, that's sent a bit of a shot across the House of Dragon Bows. It's like, you're waiting for episode 9 for your big one, are you? Episode 3 in your face, in your face, Rhaenyra. Yeah, exactly.
I just can't believe it. I can't believe it didn't leak. I can't believe.
Yeah, fair play to everybody
involved. I can't believe it. I'm really, you know, people talk about spoilers like ruining the enjoyment of shows, but this didn't get out. And I think, I don't know who had a sniper rifle trained on them, but like it worked.
Yeah, it really did. And it's obvious now why Brian Cox is the only one that's been out there doing any press, because he's kind of like, fuck it. It's going to be great. I wonder if not enough, some might say. But I wonder now if we'll start getting other members of the cast. Yeah. I think maybe it was a very planned strategy to only have Brian doing that. We've already had an email in.
Wave. What? Yeah,
we've already had an email in from a listener about Succession
already?
Episode 3. Yeah, from Helen. Thanks, Helen. Sent an email into dragoncast@deafdoris.com. Hi, Jamie and Chris. Just had to email in after watching this week's Succession. Thanks to Jamie for the heads up on avoiding spoilers. Pleasure. I think I've just watched one of the greatest pieces of television ever. I'm still reeling. There are so many individual moments to break down, but for me, it's the performances from Sarah Snook, Jeremy Strong, Kieran Culkin. I lost my dad in 2018. It was an unexpected death, much like Logan's. And trust me, the range of emotions covered by the actors was spot on. Grief is complicated, and I think this episode of Succession really brings that home. I found the episode quite a difficult watch, but the writing, those devastating hits of emotion, were just incredible. As for the future of Waystar, am I the only one thinking that trying to fire Jerry was a huge mistake?
Yeah.
That's a lovely email, Helen. And I think a lot of people will relate to that because as I said at the beginning, it was like, it's the great leveler. Everyone's been on the other end of that phone call at one point in their lives. Maybe not from a yacht with a jazz band with straw boaters on, but you know, there's never a right time to receive that phone call.
It's a great leveler, as you said. And the thing about this show, it's always said that this man is like Superman of business, right? But it's also, he's just died. Like people, he's just a man. And it's in everyone's worst interests to lionize him because they've got a company with no one steering it, no one seeing the icebergs on the horizon. Like, I can't wait. It's not going to have a happy ending.
No, it's not. Well, it's not. Certainly not a happy episode 3. But listen, I'm not going to edit any of this because A, I want to get the episode out there. But also, it's just one of those things that I'm just going to shove up there, and we will. But I can't even remember. We've not decided what episode of Game of Thrones we're supposed to have watched. But we'll do that.
I haven't even looked.
It's like two or three days' time. But we are on it. We'll be on it. It's just quite a lot. But fucking hell, it's
been a pleasure,
Chris. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I can't even remember what our sign-off was. Did we come up with one? What was it again?
No, we haven't. I'll see you at the next board meeting.
I'll see you next board meeting, absolutely.
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel, who's part of the Dragon Cast series where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
You know what to do, like and subscribe, but fuck off!
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.